Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Bree's here, and that's it. Hi, Bree.
Yay. Hi.
Just us for now. Jacob's supposed to be here. He's running late. Aki is not supposed to be here, but she might show up anyway. But for now, just you and me.
All right. Uh-oh.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm just chillaxing with my ducks.
Chillaxing with your ducks.
Yep.
Duck simulator, Placid.
What is it? Placid plastic duck simulator. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That one.
How hard are the new achievements?
Not hard. I'm waiting on one that is kind of random. It's I think it's for getting one of the stone ducks inside an anti-gravity chamber.
Hmm.
Horror is volunteering to get on mic and say fuck a lot.
Hey, if you want to jump in here, you have the power. You know how Discord works. Oh, man. I can't believe they came out with DLC for that. I finished it. I'm like, they're never going to come out for DLC for this. It's been how long? Nothing came out. I got my 1,000. I deleted it. Now there's DLC for it.
Mm-hmm.
Grumble, grumble. Not used to Bree swearing.
You know, it's funny. Like, I actually do try and tone it down. The swearing, I it's just like force of habit, professional environment, trying to keep it clean.
Yeah.
And I realize like it's totally okay to do that. But yeah, I do tone it down.
Yeah, I try to reel it in sometimes as well, especially when we have guests, but.
Yeah.
Right now we ain't got shit, so fuck everything.
Any excitement for Christmas? I mean,
in my area, nothing's going on. I have family visiting in March. And that's basically going to be our Christmas, but nah, I don't think we're doing anything at all this year. It's just us and the cats, and we'll probably visit my mom on Christmas Day and open some presents and. I'm sure Ashley has work.
Oh, chill. So. Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at my schedule. I had to schedule a flight at the end of January. I think every single weekend from like the 21st until the middle of March is booked for me right now.
Wow.
That's it's a lot of medieval events and a lot of other things
even
going
in the
on.
Winter, they do that thing. Stuff.
Oh yeah. One of our local biggest events is in February. But then I also have annual training for Jamestown in February. I've got some other stuff going on to like prep for an event at the beginning of March. And then we have another Jamestown event called Military Through the Ages, which I've never been to. I'm super excited to finally actually be able to go this year. And they have reenactment groups from Roman times to modern come in and do demonstrations. Wow. In the fields outside the fort. And I'll get to be inside the fort doing some food and that sort of thing, manning one of the houses. But I'll actually get to walk around and see some of the other military demonstrations. And that's pretty cool.
Are you going to pour boiling oil on anybody?
No, I don't plan to. My main job is to stop people from eating things that they're not supposed to. Guests will randomly put things in their mouth. I'm not even joking. There was a guest this year who was like picking up herbs and smelling them. English was not her first language. And she was like, what's this? And then she grabs the nutmeg and puts it in her mouth and chomps down. We had to just throw it in the fire. Yeah. That was smart. What am I going to be the mistress of the night? The mistress of the night. I have what? I don't know what story that's referring to because there's a few stories.
Mistress of the night. See, this is when we need Aki in here to explain what the hell she's thinking.
Yeah, I know, because my brain went to something and I'm like, did I tell Aki that story? Did I tell anybody that story? Should I have told anyone that story? I probably shouldn't have.
Now I want to know the story.
All right, short version, After Dark.
I only know one of them. I need to know the rest.
The short version of the story is that there is a Men Without Pants party. And okay. There's a gauntlet that they have to go through, all the men, to get entrance to the party. They have to prove to the ladies of the gauntlet that they are not wearing pants. They can do this in any number of ways. It gets pretty raunchy from there. But there's a mistress of the gauntlet, which was actually my job. And I actually apparently terrified this one young man. He could not enter the party. He was very intimidated by me.
Wow.
Yes. But, you know, full corset, all the leather. Yes. Full dominatrix.
So we'll see pictures of that in the Adventures of Bree on the Discord.
Yeah, totally.
Stay tuned.
If there's any pictures of that surviving, I would be surprised.
Well, we'll have to mark that an 18 plus channel now. Really wish there was a picture of Bree.
Yep. I'm really good at dodging cameras. Yes.
Oh, geez.
I think one of my favorite parts was at a certain point, the men in my household had to help me get tied into the corset, and they were all fighting over who got to do it. they were tripping over each other and fighting over it. It was great.
Coltrane is just wandering back and forth on my lap, and I have no idea what she wants. Just back and forth, left and right. What do you want? What do you want? Oh, cats are weird.
Mm-hmm.
So you're good at dodging cameras. Are you good at dodging the news?
This week? Yeah, apparently I did. I only have like 2 pieces of news, but we can start talking about it.
Well, we're going to have to because we have a show to do and no one else is here.
I know. Let's do it.
Game Pass. Xbox announced the next month of Game Pass.
Drop it, bitch!
Andrew, thank you for the biddies. We appreciate the 50 biddies dropping down into the cup. The puppy head just bouncing around. Thank you for your support. But Game Pass, it's a lot of games leaving, not that many joining, which I think is a bummer, but...
Yeah.
Let's go over the list. December 4th, Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled hit Ultimate, Standard, and Core. So everybody on Game Pass gets that one.
All right.
December 5th, EA Sports WRC hit EA Play, and Overthrown is in game preview on Game Pass.
All right.
December 9th, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. That hot new PS5 game is going to jump onto Xbox Game Pass a little early and give Xbox gamers a preview of the game before it launches on PS5 next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then December 10th, Wild Frost.
Huh. I don't know much about that one. I've been hearing good reviews about Indie, though.
Yeah, the reviews have been pretty positive that I've seen so far. Like 8s, 9s. That's good to see.
Yeah.
And then the next game is January 2nd.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's everything for December. 5 games for December.
Hmm.
That's it.
That's
January 2nd, Carrion returns to Ultimate and Standard. And that Road 96 is going to be there January 7th.
Also a good game.
Yeah. Hitting Standard on December 4th were Haunty, Humanity, and Forza Motorsport.
All right.
Yep.
Some good stuff for Standard.
And then Core on the 7th got DayZ and Goat Simulator the original.
All right. That's really getting confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's fucking stupid. Remember when we just used to be like, hey, these are joining Game Pass?
Yeah.
It was easy.
Yeah, that was easy.
Used to be easy. Yeah. Let's talk about what's leaving, because there's a lot leaving.
Yeah.
On the 15th, we are losing Forza Horizon 4 due to its delisting.
Mm-hmm.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
The Quarry.
Oh.
Amnesia the Bunker.
Hmm.
Tin Hearts.
That was a good one.
Forager.
Okay.
And Rainbow Billy, The Curse of Leviathan.
Oh, that was a cute game, too.
Yeah, it was. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games leave. Oh, no, wait. There's also December 31st that games are leaving Game Pass.
They're telling us early, which is awfully nice of them.
Yeah, because there's nothing else happening in the month. They're taking off until January.
Yeah.
So no games are hitting through the second half of the month, but we're losing 6 more with Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, Close to the Sun, Humankind, Lego 2K Drive.
I didn't even realize that was on there.
McPixel 3.
Well, that was an odd game.
Yeah, and Party Animals.
Wow, Party Animals is finally leaving the service.
Yeah.
It's been on there a while.
I think like a year and a half or something like that. A year and a few months.
Yeah.
So yeah, 5 games join in December and 13 leave.
Well, it was awfully nice of them to tell us early, though. I appreciate that aspect. I feel like I would like if that happened more often for, you know, planning reasons. But it's a lot of good games leaving.
Yeah. Quality and quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And the incoming just isn't matching the outgoing, which worries me.
Yeah, a little bit.
We used to have over 500 games in Game Pass, and I think it's under 400 now.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yay.
Well, hopefully the new year will bring us some new good stuff. I hope so. Excited to see, you know, what the new year brings. I mean, February, March is when we're going to be getting a lot of new stuff in general.
Yeah.
That, like, February through April kind of time zone seems to be, like, a good release window for a lot of games. I'm looking forward to some stuff that I know is coming out around that time. The Suikoden 1 and 2 remaster.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that one.
On March. So, yeah.
What do I have on my list for upcoming games? January, I'm looking forward to Tales of Graces F.
Mm-hmm.
February, in like 1 week span, there's Yakuza Pirate, Yakuza in Hawaii, Assassin's Creed Shadows, and Avowed.
Mm. Oh, yeah. See, there's a lot of good stuff coming out in that time frame.
I need like $500 in a week for that shit.
Yeah.
It is insane. Crazy, crazy, crazy. PlayStation Plus monthly games for December were announced, and they are getting 3 titles with It Takes Two, Aliens Dark Descent, and Temtem.
Yep. All right.
That sounds interesting.
Oh, hey, look who's here.
Wow,
I'm starting to get really worried.
I've been here the whole time through the magic of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Magic.
No, there's 15 minutes of the show that you're not on.
It's probably the best 15 minutes of this show.
And they were really good, man.
I know, it was probably really efficient. Oh my god,
there was like conversation.
Oh.
Bree talked about like pantsless parties.
Yeah.
What?
And you'll never know.
Well, hold on. What about pantsless party? Can I go to one of these pantsless parties?
You're going to have to listen to the show to find out.
Oh, man. Well, wait, does that mean like everyone's just wearing skirts? Or like dresses? Because, I mean, those are technically pantsless.
I'm not going to tell you any more details. You'll have to wait.
Dang it. All right.
If Aki had a headset, she was going to beat you here tonight.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
No, she's in chat. She's like, if I had a headset, I'd be on.
Oh, why doesn't she have a headset?
It's her week off.
Why doesn't she have a headset?
Because she's at her grandparents' house, and they apparently got rid of the headset.
Oh,
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, maybe she could, like, sell some gunpla and, you know, get a headset.
She'll have to get a headset over the weekend for next week.
Yeah, see?
But yeah, back to PlayStation Plus. Sly Cooper 2 and 3 and the original Jack and Daxter will be part of the premium classics for December.
All right.
Yeah, whenever they announce all of those. But Nintendo Switch Online got some new games. Donkey Kong Land 3 joined the Game Boy lineup following the first two games over the past week. So Donkey Kong Land 1, 2, and 3 are all now available on the Nintendo Switch Online Game Boy lineup.
Nice.
And then Tetris is joining the NES lineup.
Fun.
Yeah.
Okay, like the old...
The original NES Tetris.
OG, yep.
The one that's like by Nintendo, or is it... Okay. So I was like, I don't remember how the 10 Gen one worked.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever see that. Yeah. But now let's get to some shitty news. X-Defiant is shutting down in June from Ubisoft.
Yeah, and I think they laid off a bunch of people too, probably, didn't they?
Yeah. I think it's like half of the people. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yep. And then in addition to that, Ubisoft San Francisco and Osaka are being shut down with cuts. They're expected to be around 277.
Jeez.
Yeah. So Ubisoft's not doing too great.
Yep.
All of the current NASCAR games by Motorsport Games will be delisted by the end of the year. This includes NASCAR Heat, NASCAR Rivals, and NASCAR Ignition, as well as all of the DLC. So grab it while you can.
I was thinking about it, and I'm just like, I don't know. Like, the Sega Classics thing, like, that's different, because, I mean, it's like, my kids are like, ooh, I'll check out this retro game, blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, like, I think there's, like, 40 games in that collection. Meanwhile, like, the NASCAR stuff, like, yeah, it's knocked down to like $5. What the hell is this fly doing here? Anyway, but it's like some of them are knocked down to like $3 to $5. And I'm just like, am I ever going to play this? Like, it's a NASCAR game.
No, if you don't buy it, you never will.
You turn left a lot. Like,
that is true.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know, man. I used to like playing those though.
Like, I reviewed a few of the earlier NASCAR games and I had fun with them.
Jesus, fucking fly!
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I killed it. I don't know if you like heard the clap in the background, but that was
your booty cheeks clapping.
I clapped it with my butt cheek. Oh my god, is there another one? What the fuck? God damn! All right. Anyway, bullshit. Okay. Sorry.
I don't think you are.
No, I mean, not really, but, you know.
You good? The fly situation taken care of?
One of the two. I don't know. I like, the next one, when he comes back around, I'm going to have to, like, kill him again, but yeah.
Killed his brother.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to come with bloody vengeance.
That's the best kind, you know?
Yeah. Foam Stars, their next season is going until January 17th, called Party Goes On, and then the game is ending. The party will not go on.
Well, I mean, they're leaving it online for the time being, so...
Yeah, but the seasons are, they're done with season updates.
Well, yeah, game. But I mean, as, you know...
No more content, no more updates, it's just what's there is there, and... We'll see how long it lasts.
Mm-hmm.
Live service games aren't doing well.
No, don't seem to be.
Maybe it's a sign.
I'm shocked.
They should fucking stop making them.
Oh my god, do you think people may not want them?
I just want Knockout City back, man.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm struggling to think of any live service game that I was like, oh hell yeah, about.
I mean, I still play Sea of Thieves. That's technically, I don't know, it's not the same. The seasons thing don't matter the same way.
Yeah, you only like, play that because it's on PS5, so.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just like, I'm drawing a blank on anything I play. Like, even Fall Guys I stopped fooling around with as much.
Technically, isn't Disney Dreamlight Live Service?
Technically, but if they ever decide to end the game, it will run without it will be able to run without the need of a server.
Yeah.
Because all the items,
it's still live service though, with all the updates and the seasonal content and all that jazz. Yeah. So you do like some live service. It just
comes down
to how good the game is.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, last bit of news I have is that Warhorse Studios announced Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 will launch a week early on February 4th.
Right.
It had been pushed back, so now it's being pushed forward.
Yeah, so there's another game in February that I need. Oh my god, February's fucking crazy.
What? I haven't even looked ahead. Like, I have no idea what's coming out.
February has Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, Assassin's Creed Shadows, Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii, and Avowed.
Okay, so the only one I care about is Yakuza. Nice.
Well, if you don't like Avowed, then you're dead to me.
I don't know anything about it, to be honest, so... Like, I have
not been paying... Look it up, it looks really fucking good.
I haven't been paying attention. Like, it's like an RPG, action RPG thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Avowed game. I mean, the cover art's pretty.
Yeah. Latino Heat, thank you for the 24-month sub. Always appreciate having you here. Enjoy the kitty cats and the emotes. Enjoy Purnell's face scrolling to the right eternally.
That infected bear is ugly.
What infected bear?
Oh, sorry. I was looking at Joe. Hold on. Let me look at this picture from the game.
Fuck you.
No, it's a gameplay. It's a gameplay photo that's on the Wikipedia page for it. And like, it's a player with a sword fighting an infected bear, and like it's this bear that's got like obviously tons of mange, but like. He's got like these like little pods growing all over the back of him, and it's just it looks like Joe's ball sack went through a blender.
You know what my ball sack looks like?
After it went through a blender, yes. I was there that night.
Okay. Bree, what news do you have?
Let's see. Let's start with the easy one. Season 2 of the Fallout TV series on Prime has started filming.
Cool. I still need to watch season 1.
Yeah, it's really good.
I've heard it's really, really good. I just never watch anything anymore.
I rarely it's wrestling. Do. I happened to take a little vacation back in May, and that was one of the goals I had was to watch that show, because I never have time to watch that stuff when I'm at home doing games. But it was really good. I'd highly recommend it.
Nice.
And then news of the weird. In Spain, KFC is selling a Tamagotchi-style handheld of a drumstick that you have to feed and clean up after. It's called Eduardochi.
Wow.
I saw that, and that looks interesting.
It's like... It's got like a Pac-Man mouth at the end of its drumstick, and it poops. I don't understand it at all.
Oh my god, but this thing looks insane.
There's like a really interesting video for it too. Like, oh yeah, and I was gonna say Thimber. I posted that in the Discord earlier that there was someone who they got hit by a truck. They were on their bike and they had just bought a Series S. And because of the way it was in their backpack while they were underneath the truck, they feel like it saved their life because they didn't hit their head, and the Xbox still turned on after they got out of the hospital.
Yeah, I saw that on Reddit, and then it just blew up everywhere.
Yeah.
And then didn't Xbox reach out and hook him up with a new console?
I think so, yeah. I
hope they gave him a Series X.
I know, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Like, come on, guys. Give him the good one.
Got an Xbox 360 with the old chipset. Mm. Red ringed as soon as he plugged it in.
Mm. Nice. But he can't play El Chavo Kart without it, so.
Yeah. But that's all the news I have.
Jacob, what you got?
Well, EA has made a whole bunch of accessibility patents open source, stuff for photosensitivity and speech tech recognition. That way other game devs can use them at no cost.
That's cool.
Yeah, like it was nice to see EA do something that's not shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice surprise. Did we talk about Sweet Bandits?
No.
Nope.
Oh. Sweet Bandits, the devs who made Deceive Inc., they have shut down. Pokemon TV is returning as a YouTube channel. Yeah, a Pokemon channel. YouTube channel. And it's going to start streaming the anime tomorrow. So if you're listening tonight, then, you know, wake up tomorrow and start watching the YouTube channel. If not, then it's already doing it. So,
yay.
Facebook is no longer browsable on the Nintendo DS.
No.
Yep. As of December 3rd, you cannot browse it on a DS.
No.
Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is now available for $10. There's no more microtransactions. It just costs $10. And later on in February, it's going to go up to, I think, $20.
Yeah. I'm
not sure.
Yeah, $19.99.
Yeah, so you've got 2 months to purchase it at the lower price. I'm going to do it. I saved all my data. Oh, yeah. And also, you do have the ability to bring in all your data if you transfer it from your Nintendo account to the complete edition by June 1st of next year. Mm. So
I never played it in the first place, so I'm not buying it now either.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, with the Simpsons Tapped Out ending, I might hop back into it. I don't know. Like, I might just pick it up just for my kids and let them mess with it. But, Yeah,
you have Disney Dreamlight to take care of. You can't fuck with Animal Crossing.
Well, I can't play Disney Dreamlight on my phone. That's the thing. So, you know.
Yet.
That's a good question.
Isn't it Game Pass? Can't you cloud stream it?
I don't know. To be honest, I've never tried streaming any Xbox games on my phone because I don't know how all it works. And I've never really, like,
yeah, you can bother to try. Dreamlight Valley is playable on cloud.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know how I'd play it. Like, I don't have any, like, do you have to, like, attach, like, an Xbox controller to it?
No.
Like,
or you just sync your Xbox controller to your phone. They have Bluetooth.
Yeah, you can do that. But what? A lot of times they put screen controls for the cloud games.
Yeah. This one doesn't have touch controls, though.
No.
No.
So you'd have to think a controller. I played Sea of Thieves on my phone.
Wait, hold on. Disney Dreamlight would require a controller?
Yes.
Probably, yeah.
Dang it.
Yeah. Just go to Xbox.com/play, and you can see what games are available cloud streaming. If there is a controller icon, that means that you need a controller to play it. If there is, I forget what it looks like. There's like a touch screen icon, and that has just controls that you can pop up on your phone and touch screen controls.
Yeah, I've played Sea of Thieves on my phone through the cloud and off of a train station Wi-Fi.
Huh.
And, it worked great. So, yeah.
I might have to try that. I don't know if that's probably a wise idea on my end, but, you know.
Oh, Disney Dreamlight does have touch controls.
Fuck me.
I just looked on my phone. I checked on the browser, but that doesn't show it has touch. I checked on my phone, and it does have touch controls.
Disney. Yeah. Dreamlight. Oh, bitch, I can download it.
Well, you can't download the game. You cloud stream it.
Oh. So I wouldn't be playing the Apple Arcade version.
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay.
You would be playing your Xbox.
You do it for your Xbox app.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm a little slow on this. So. Yeah,
we'll teach you.
Okay.
We'll get you going. I remember when Ashley was in the hospital and I had my phone with me and I brought a controller with me and I played the show in the hospital on my phone with a controller. It was hard to play because of the lag being in a like hospital Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. I could see that being a problem.
I just had to swing early and I still won the game.
Nice.
Yeah. Cloud Play is pretty cool, man. You should check it out.
I'll try it eventually. Maybe during the hiatus when I have time to play around with things. Let's see. Crud. What other news do I have? Oh, Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Okay.
Hello. Oh, okay. Sorry, like I hadn't heard anything for a while, and like I'm just watching your mouth move on the Twitch stream, and I'm just like, crap, did my audio drop? Anywho,
I'm the beef.
The new Star Path has started. It is winter themed, runs till like the beginning of February. I haven't had a chance to look at it. But all I know is that Fairy Godmother has a winter themed outfit. Yay! I don't know if there's going to be like a little animal that you can get through it. And also the new free update with Sally and the floating islands has also arrived. So now you have extra real estate to toss everyone's houses in. So I'm looking forward to that.
You know what I'm looking forward to? Giving a shout out to Gumby, who just subbed for the first month with Prime. Thank you. Welcome in. Good luck in the contest. I saw you enter earlier. Hopefully you win that one. But thank you for the sub. Enjoy the emotes. Thank you for your support. And hope you stick around and enjoy the show. What else you got, Jacob?
Ooh. And last thing. You got to play the song?
I don't know. What song?
From Movie Watch.
Well, I'm not a fucking mind reader.
Well, no, I mean, maybe you should
have the ability to play it too.
Oh yeah. Huh. Buttons.
I have no idea how to use that.
Buttons.
Just click the soundboard icon.
Oh, soundboard. Hold on.
Yep.
Oh God. Now I have to find it.
Yeah. Under where it says voice connected, there's like the camera.
Fall into the abyss
screen
of my gaping butthole.
Yep, we got that one. And then the fourth one is open soundboard, and you could just
movie
watch. There.
Hey, yay. All right. Anyway, Sonic Movie Watch. As you may have already guessed, it's about to come out. It is arriving in theaters on the 19th with a special fan thing before releasing that Friday. And, Paramount is really pulling out all the stops to hopefully kick the shit out of Mufasa, which Disney is releasing on the same day. So it's going to be a battle of CGI animals.
Yay.
and pretty much like if you the big thing that they've announced today for Saturday, if you go see a certain showing, there is now an exclusive poster that you will get if you go to that specific showing. And I'm not going to lie, the art's kind of cool. Like they've made like a lot of cool limited edition posters for this movie, but I'm psyched. I know my kids are psyched. I don't know if we're going to go see it on Christmas Day or what, but we're definitely seeing that in the theater. So,
which one, Mufasa or Sonic or both?
Sonic. I have no actual interest in seeing Mufasa.
No.
I mean, I don't know. I don't care about all the remakes. Like it's super. I mean, it's super expensive to go to the movies nowadays, and like having kids who expect like popcorns and snacks and like all that kind of stuff. Like, holy crap! It's like $80.
Lord.
Yeah, or maybe it's closer to 60. Either way, I feel like I'm getting fucked through my pants, and like I'm not even wearing them the right way.
Oh, you're a breeze party?
You beat me to that joke, damn it.
But but yeah, so yeah, Sonic 3, new stuff.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. Is that everything?
Oh, also, while I'm thinking of with the Sonic stuff, the toys are out there, so be careful for spoilers, because some of the action figures are a little spoilery. I don't give a shit, but I've already had the ending ruined. Not like I don't want to say ruined, like, because I'm just like, oh, like, you know, like, this is not like Han Solo dying at the end of The Force Awakens, like,
what, you know?
Yeah. No. No, I had that spoiled for me like the day before the movie came out, because of online leaks and shit. And when that happened, like, I was having serious thoughts. I was like, what the hell's the point? I don't even know if I want to go see the movie. And then, like, I still saw it and I still cried.
but I said, at least the figures don't come with a porn link.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Like the Barbie Wicked ones.
Who needs it when you could just go to DeviantArt? But yeah, so it's just like, I don't know, like, I know more about the ending for the Sonic movie now, and so it's just kind of like, okay. But don't go to the toy aisle, folks.
Okay.
Cool.
Is that all the news, then?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Cool. Well, since you were late joining, how was your Thanksgiving?
How was my Thanksgiving? It was pretty fucking bomb, because my mom, we went over to my folks for Thanksgiving, and I don't like turkey. Like, I never have. I only really put up with like dark meat on the turkey.
You don't like turkey?
No, I fucking hate turkey.
What?
Nah, it's dry, bland. Like, it's dry shit. Like, honestly, I didn't appreciate turkey at all until I got married to my wife. Like, she cooks a good turkey, but I'm still not like huge on turkey. So anyway, my mom was just like, I'm gonna make it easy this year. I'm just gonna cook up a bunch of turkey breasts, and she made me a bunch of ham steaks for Thanksgiving, because she was just like, that way, like, he could still have some.
Shut him the fuck up.
And it did, because I got to have ham steaks with my mom's stuffing, and oh, that was so good. Whoa. Hold on. Thimber's saying, like, I hate, like, I'm offending Turkish people. No, that's just the meat. I love Turkish delight. The candy or sweets, whatever you want to call it. Oh, man, that stuff is amazing. I just had pomegranate Turkish delight the other day. Life changer. That shit is incredible. Although there's like, what? Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm trying to follow what Thimber's saying and whatever. Anyway,
yeah, it doesn't make for good listening when you just read and you don't. And
yeah,
say it.
Whatever. You don't make for good things. There, I showed you.
Anyway. Good job, drug addicts.
Thank you. And then yeah. My wife made a bomb-ass cherry pie with, like, actual cherries in it. Oh, incredible. So,
nice.
My Thanksgiving was pretty good. And then my Black Friday was absolute hell, because I had to work retail IT. So,
Anything fun happen? Yeah.
We had like three systems go down all at once.
Nice.
Of course.
What? There's like a little cattail, like just like grooving in Joe's background, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Coltrane's on my lap this whole show, just back and forth.
I know, but like if you watch like the feed, it's just like doing this like little ever so slight wiggle. I don't know. It's funny. Anywho. But yeah, like two of them went down because it was just like the volume of like information that was going through. And then the other one is because the team that handles the system decided, we're going to take it down at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the most business, like the most busiest hour of our day on Black Friday. And we're just going to take it down and we're not going to tell anybody and we're going to do some troubleshooting. And
wow.
Yeah. Some, I don't know if somebody's going to get fired, but words were said. I know that much.
Wow.
And then every Black Friday, I'm just like, oh, I'm going to pull in so much overtime. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And like by 4 p.m., I was like, yo, fuck this shit. I'm clocking out at 6:30. I do not give a flying fuck. Like, you could not pay me enough overtime to stick around for this shit. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of overtime, we got to get into overtime with our reviews. We got 9 games to talk about tonight. Should we dive into these?
Let's do it.
Jacob, you ready?
I guess.
All right. First game to talk about tonight, Monopoly, provided to us by Ubisoft for the purpose of this coverage. Developed by Engine Software and Ubisoft, published by Ubisoft. Released September 26th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $29.99. Monopoly is back with a fresh look and improved game experience. Buy, sell, trade properties, and grow your empire in this faithful adaptation of the game we all grew up with. Roll the dice, start the game, and dive in to explore an exciting, fully animated 3D city. Jacob, what is Monopoly?
So Monopoly is based off the famous Parker Brothers, although maybe now it's called Hasbro. I don't know how they worked all that kind of stuff, but anyway. Famous board game where you go around the board, buy up properties, collect rent, and it's supposed to teach you, or originally it was supposed to teach you that capitalism is bad. Now it's just seen as this like free for all. It's just, you go around the board, you build up, you purchase properties, you build on the properties. And then if somebody lands on your spaces, it's, you collect rent from them. And depending on how much, like, rent, like how much developing you've done on the property is, like, how bad you could seriously screw over someone. Like, it could go, like, if that person has purchased, like, both of the properties for, like, a single color, and they build up like hotels and stuff like that, like what would have been like a $35 rent fee if you had landed on something that wasn't developed versus now it's like a $700 thing and you're now bankrupt. And this was on the easy difficulty too. Like this game does not pull any punches. It's all right. I mean, it's Monopoly. You either like it or you don't. I don't know. Like, I felt like this was a weird game to review because there already is a version of Monopoly on the Xbox store. Plus, there's like the little variants that they've released over the years. But the graphics have improved quite a bit from that. So, I mean...
Did you go on to the new mode in the city and use the search option?
Oh, I
can find like extra pieces in there and stuff. That was pretty cool.
I was gonna say I ended up messing around in the city way more than I thought I did, and it's an interesting concept. So, as Bree said, it hides various game tokens that you can then unlock and use in later games. But you're also just watching this city, like, I mean, they call it the Living City, and that's what it is. It's a living, breathing, moving city. And it's really fun to just watch everyone do their thing. And, like, you can go into some of the buildings or, like, go at least on top of the rooftops. Like, you can, like, look down at the stadium. You can go through the roads and all that other kind of stuff. But, it does like all this little fun stuff. Like if if your guy gets picked up to go to jail, there's a helicopter that takes off and actually will pick up your token and drop you off at jail. There were actually some pretty funny jokes in there, and now I don't even remember what the heck they were. I did appreciate the humor that's in it, and one of the things that I love is that if there's anything that negatively happens to you in the game, you can flip the board, and the cards and the pieces will just go flying everywhere, and then you hit A and it resets and you just continue on with the game.
I do have a gripe about that, by the way.
Why?
There's no achievement for flipping the board, and that's a missed opportunity.
There is not. However, with Ubisoft Connect, there is a community goal for it.
Oh, nice.
So you can earn other stuff in there. And with Ubisoft Connect, there's more stuff that you can get. There's more game pieces that you can earn. Some of them free, some of them cost the Ubisoft Connect currency, whatever it is. There's also four that are locked that I just I don't know what they're how you get them. Is there a collector's edition of this game or something?
No idea.
Let me check. Now it's just the one version of the game.
Okay, well, there's four of them stuck in there that I don't know how you get. But
there were some Twitch drops that could be how you get. Oh, maybe. Some stuff.
Oh, yeah, dang it!
I got four tokens through Twitch drops.
That's probably it. Oh yeah. No, are they still doing them?
Possibly. I don't know.
As I leave the SML Twitch page. Sorry, Joe, I can't be bothered to watch you. I need to earn my Monopoly things.
That's good. I don't want you entering the contests anyway.
Joke's on you. I already did. Monopoly. Okay. What the heck? There's a lot of Monopoly games. Oh, gosh. Anyway.
As 2024 on the Twitch tag.
It's the what?
It'll say Monopoly 2024 in parentheses. Oh, okay. On the gotcha. Twitch tag.
Okay. Anywho, I'll figure that out later. But yeah, and it's just so there's the normal mode. There's that living city thing, which adds a lot of extra animations. And if you don't feel like playing and you just want to explore the city, you could do that. I honestly, that living city thing was kind of weird. It kind of feels like some sort of proof of concept for something else. And then they were just we could just toss it in here. It almost felt those Hidden Cats games. It's almost like somebody was trying hey, what if we did one of those except in 3D?
Jacob, as you like have cry. To
what?
The drops ended yesterday.
They'll probably bring them back.
There was a balloon, an ice cream token, a motorcycle, and a watch.
Yep, I saw those. Yeah. They ended yesterday. That yep. sucks. They'll probably do them again. Maybe.
I would hope so.
Or make them
FOMO. I hate that feeling of missing out. Bucks.
I know, but at the same time, it's just they're tokens that aren't it's not going to affect the game really.
Yeah.
So you can also mess with the various modes. You can add in house rules. There's a fast mode that you can play. I want fast mode because there's different objectives that you could do. One of them has to be who's the first one to build a house? Who's the first one to own a property? Or who owns the most property before everyone passes go or whatever. And yeah, it's just, it's fine. It's Monopoly. It's one of those, I didn't find anything game breaking. I couldn't connect to the online for it. So I don't know if they were having server issues at the time or what, but
I had fun playing with the AI.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's just, how much do you like Monopoly? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it is with any board game.
Yeah.
Brie, you streamed it, didn't you?
I did. I streamed it so people could get drops.
What did you think of it?
What the crap?
The funny thing is, I watched you and I didn't get any drops from it.
Oh, no. Yeah. Weird. Yeah, I had a problem getting drops from someone, too, even though they had the drops thing on. But no, I mean, I enjoyed it. I think I would have enjoyed it more with other people. You do have options to play online. I didn't try the online, but you can also play locally where you can have, I think you could share a controller.
Yeah, you could do that.
So, I mean, if I had people around that I wanted to play some Monopoly, like it was a good adaptation. I thought it was, well done. But it's Monopoly.
Hi, Ashley.
Jacob says hi. She says hi.
I also say hi.
Bree says hi. She says hi. Ashley says hi to the audience.
Also, I like her accolade saying getting to the point that the average person playing it won't even know what it means to own property.
Ooh. Yeah. Too real.
Yeah.
Too real.
Let's us live out our fantasies of building a house.
Well, the new version of Monopoly clocks in at $29.99. What do you think?
I'm going to be honest, like, I don't know that all the bells and whistles were like enough to, I don't know that I would have gotten this if I wasn't reviewing it, unless it was on like a steep discount. Like, there's still an older version of Monopoly, and it's just,
I think they delisted the previous straight version of Monopoly.
Did they? I thought it was still for sale. Monopoly Plus?
I could be wrong. Not Plus. It was the straight version, like, of Monopoly was delisted at some point, I think.
Yeah, because I checked the store. The only versions of Monopoly still available on the store right now are Monopoly Madness from 3 years ago, and then the stuff from a decade ago.
Yeah.
Like, to expect people to still be playing the decade-old version now, I think that's a hard ask. I think a new release makes sense after a decade.
I guess. I don't know. Like, I didn't exactly feel sold on it, but I'm also not the biggest Monopoly player. So, I think it really comes down to
how much you want this one.
Because I thought it'd be interesting to try it. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just, like, because I was hoping that there would be, like, enough new stuff, and it's just,
I need a verdict. Yeah,
the living city thing's interest, like, you know, it's interesting for a little bit, and I, like, the ability to flip the game table, yeah, it's funny, but, okay. Like, I don't know. I'd give it a try it at the very least. Like, but if you're a Monopoly fan, then yeah, go ahead, like, go for it. Like, it's a solid game. I didn't have anything that was game breaking. I just couldn't find anyone online to play with. Yeah. So,
Brie, your thoughts?
I mean, I expect that price for, you know, licensing and all that stuff. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more for it, like maybe some different themed boards. They only have the two. I know that would be an option, but yeah, Uno. That could definitely be something in the future I'd love to see. I have fond memories of Star Wars, Monopoly, and a 24-hour game that ended in a stalemate, and we finally gave up because we'd been awake for 24 hours and we were done. Yeah.
How had nobody killed each other by then?
I don't know. Alcohol.
Jeez.
But yeah, no, I could give it a buy it. I mean, I had fun with it. I like Monopoly. I thought it was well done. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like you said, it's been over 10 years. I feel like it needed a refresh. And yeah, I had a good time with it.
Cool. Works for me. And the bummer is it was just on sale for like $23.99 and I missed out on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It'll be on sale again, Joe.
Yeah, I know. But next game, Mythwrecked Ambrosia Island, developed by Polygon Treehouse, published by White Thorn Games, released December 5th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PC for $24.99. You're shipwrecked on a lost mythical island. As backpacker Alex, you must befriend the forgotten gods of Greek mythology and restore their memories. Explore the dynamic island and its story sandbox to build new friendships, solve the mystery, and save the gods. Bree, what is Mythwrecked?
We start out on a boat where Alex, who seems a little nervous, is sailing toward. I know. They're sailing toward a hiking vacation to get away from the stresses of life. Alex finally manages to relax a little and nods off, only to be woken up by the captain to hold on tight because a strange storm appeared out of nowhere. Alex makes it through the storm, but the ship does not, and she finds herself on a strange island. Her phone's broken, and there's no way to call for help. After a little exploration of this seemingly inhabited island, she comes across a talking statue who identifies herself as the Oracle, Aura for short, and of course, she knows some things, and we are given a phone-like device called an Ambrosia Dex, and some hints on how to find people who could help us. Turns out this island is where the Greek gods still live, but they've been on Ambrosia Island for a long time, and things have gotten a little run down, and everybody needs our help. First god we deal with is Hermes, and he has some kind of amnesia. It turns out they all do. And he's been isolated, and he feeds the birds, and he lives in a seaplane. And he doesn't talk to the others. None of them seem to talk to each other. They've all walled themselves off with some devices that we'll have to figure out at some point how to open up. And we use our Ambrosia Dex tablet to help us find things on the island. It serves as a map and a radar for missing artifacts that will help jog the memory of Hermes and the other gods. I follow the creative director's social media, and I learned a few things about the game from there as well. Some inspirations for the game include Paradise Killer, Phoenix Wright, and A Short Hike. So, an interesting mix of things there. I still haven't played it. It's on my list. I've got it installed, and I just need the time to sit down and play it. I know a little bit about it. I just haven't actually sat down to play it. They took a lot of care in accessibility, specifically subtitles, like larger text, speaker labels, dark mode, bold critical text, high contrast, all those things. Also, the Greek gods are voiced by Greek voice actors. But the game isn't fully voiced. It's a lot of reading with small voice acting like, wow, thanks. And other little filler words that they voiced. At first, I found it to be distracting. I would have preferred to just have the text and some good music. Which it does have good chill music. If it was too much to fully record voices, like I get that. That gets costly fast. But eventually I got used to it and appreciated having the vocal tone to the characters. So that was my one gripe until I got used to it, and then I was like, okay, no, I kinda see what they were going for, and I ended up liking it. There's a little game tutorial on how to walk, sprint, and interact with things. Once you interact with certain things, you might get information called topics. These are talking points you can use with people you run into later to get more information. You also gain friend points with the different gods for helping them with their different tasks, like lighting party lights for Zeus. He gives you his lightning staff or whatever. His you know, you have to go around and like use it at junction boxes to light lights. It's really cool. You got to put out some weapons on statues for Ares, different tasks. But saving is manual. This is a little frustrating at first because there's no mention of it in the tutorial. You just have to wander around for a while.
I'll be back in a second.
Okay. You have to wander around for a while before you get to covered shelter for plot reasons, and that counts as a save point. As a result, I had to redo the intro to the game because I started right before bed and started to fall asleep. Once you get past that first hump, you can save at all of the little benches, which is pretty nice. They're very generous. The game has a beautiful day-night cycle where the lighting and colors change dramatically. It also affects what the islanders are doing at the different times of day. They have like daily routines. Some people sleep at night and won't come out to a stranger in the dark, which makes sense. And you can also use the benches around the island to pass the time, which was a nice mechanic. So you can walk up to any of the benches near where you're going and just, you know, say go until noon or sit there until nighttime or daytime or whatever. The art style and animation was well done. It's bright and bouncy. The island looked full of life. The water movement and shadows were playful. Kind of made me feel like the island was a character on its own, which I think is some of the context of the story as well, like kind of made that point real to me. The music, much like the game, was very chill, had some mild beats. But yeah, there's like a ton of things to do and find, and you collect these ambrosia fruit as a kind of currency on the island. You can feed birds, find messages in bottles of previous inhabitants of the island. You collect music cassettes and relax to the tunes and more. It's a narrative adventure about exploration and helping the gods remember why they are there and in their current situation. The narrative is about community, it's about friendship, and all these gods were isolated from each other, and that wasn't working out well for the island. They've got to learn to come together, and you're going to help them. It's really relaxing to run around and experience the island. The writing was fun. There are a few minor puzzle elements for interactivity's sake. But yeah, I had a pleasant time running around Ambrosia Island.
Cool. I had a lot of fun with this one, too. My only real gripe is that there's a lot of backtracking.
There really is. You do get some, like, keys that give you some fast travel points, which is helpful. But even with that, there's a lot of running around and backtracking. The map is really helpful for that in the Ambrosia decks. And I got stuck a couple of times, like, and didn't understand that I needed to go up. The map was only so helpful in a couple of those areas. There's like a doorway to the Gaia tree, and I didn't somehow realize that I could go up from there, and that there was like a whole other section I hadn't been to. I thought that was blocked off with a door. So I got stuck for a little while, but once I got to that, the game opened right back up again, and I was enjoying myself all over, so.
All right, well, it clocks in at $24.99. What are your thoughts?
Heck yeah. I'm really liking this game. If you like exploration, if you like a good narrative, I mean, you're exploring, you're helping people. I enjoyed the aspect of like making friends with people through doing these different errands and trying to get to the bigger mystery of what's going on in the game. So yeah.
Cool. All right, next up, Raven's Watch, developed by Past Tech Games, published by Nacon, released November 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5 for $29.99. Deluxe Edition is available for $39.99 with two extra skin packs. Raven's Watch is a top-down roguelike action game in which you play as heroes of tales and legends that must slay hordes of nightmarish creatures in nerve-wracking fights. After the success of Curse of the Dead Gods, Past Tech Games returns with an improved formula and an addictive game experience with endless replay value. It can be played solo or with four players in co-op. Jacob, what is Raven's Watch?
So Raven's Watch is a isometric... I know that they only used roguelike for it. I'd also kind of describe it as like an action-adventure kind of thing. So pretty much imagine if Torchlight, like the original one, was an action adventure and there was like way more violence going on in it. You kind of have that idea. And the game's description says you can play this solo. We'll get to that. So what it is like all of these like folk and fairy tale heroes, or villains, however you want to spin them, are called upon to defeat like all these like creatures that are coming out of the woodwork. And so like you have Scarlet, who is Red Riding Hood, but at nighttime she turns into the big bad wolf. You have Beowulf, who he pretty much does nothing but melee attacks. You have the Ice Queen, who surprisingly uses what kind of attacks?
I have no clue. Fire.
Bree, you're the smart one here.
I mean, I was also gonna say fire just to be sarcastic, but
damn it. All right, yeah. So ice, like she's got ice powers. Aladdin is in there and he can summon this genie to fuck shit up. And yeah, it's just like you're moving like throughout this like dark world that has like a fog of war kind of thing going on. And as you level up or collect more items, you can make these decisions as to like what powers are you going to have during this thing and how is it going to affect you. And you really have to you don't really have to take the time because obviously you need to keep, you know, killing things. But you can, there's a lot of different ways that you can make your playthrough or your playtime go. And yeah, this game is hard as hell. Like, I mean, the combat's easy to pick up. And they say that like the game, oh yeah, you could definitely do this on single player. No, not really. I still have yet to beat the first boss. Like, it's, I don't know that that's going to be happening unless I get up a multiplayer game working, which I also never figured out how to get that done. Did you, Joe?
I didn't get to play any online. I know that the online does work. Carnage, it does. I believe, played with Fire. At least I believe they did. Yeah, Carnage says they had it fixed. Pre-launch, there was an issue where like we couldn't get a game going at all. We tried everything we could. Like the lobby codes weren't working. It just, we couldn't figure it out. But
okay, well, they fixed it, so hopefully we can go back in and try it again. Because yeah, like running around and slashing stuff, like, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's just these bosses are hard as hell. And there were so many moments where I was so close to like the brink of death, but then I came back and then the boss was just like, ha ha ha, no, you know, gonna pound the crap out of you. But what's nice is that even if you do die, like your character will level up and you can still get extra abilities as you level up, so you can just keep playing over and over again. And aside from the difficulty, like I didn't really have any other problems with it. The only thing I wish I could do is mess with the text size of the text that's on the screen. Well, I mean, like I get what they're going for, because there is a very certain look that they're doing, because they're making it look like old and medieval and fantasy like. And by doing that, it's like you can't really change the size of the text, and it's just, for somebody who has like, who's getting older and has vision problems that doesn't have a computer monitor right in front of my face, like it gets a little off-putting. But you know, if you're looking for a challenge and you've got a group of friends to go with, like this is a pretty awesome game. Like, it's well done.
It is. I know Curse of the Dead Gods was a really good one. Raven's Watch, it's hard as fuck, but it's really satisfying once you get like a good run going. And if you could actually take out bosses, like the first time I took out that first boss, it felt like a legit accomplishment.
Oh, I'm sure. Solo, one day I'll get there.
But it clocks in at $29.99. What are your thoughts?
If you've got friends that you can play this with and they're all game to play, then yeah, like it's totally worth the $30. If you're probably just going to be doing a lot of soloing, you might want to wait for a sale. I mean, that's not to say it's not a quality game. It's just, it really, in my opinion, it really does rely on the multiplayer aspect of it.
All right. Well, we got to move on. Next game to talk about is Love Too Easily, developed by Monster Guide, published by H2 Interactive, released... I got lost in my notes. Released December 5th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $21.99. A memory of a sweet kiss from last night, a lost cell phone, three suspects. Become the main character's helper, make story choices, collect hints, and clear minigames. A full-scale mystery, romantic comedy, interactive movie. Bree, what is Love Too Easily?
It's an interactive movie game in Korean with English subtitles. And fair warning, you need to read fast. Yeonwoo goes out drinking with her college study group and gets blackout drunk. Barely remembers what happened. She does remember the kiss, but not who it was that she kissed.
So she wakes up in her bed the next day to her phone ringing, except it's not her phone. It's someone else's, and she thinks it belongs to the person she kissed, but she can't figure out whose phone it is. So you get to make several choices of where to go next, because this is an interactive game. But first, a mini game. The mini games are animated. They're really cute. There are several different kinds throughout the game. Depending on what choices you make, you get different mini games. The first one is just to click around and find the ringing phone, but it also serves as a way for you to get to know the main character through her stuff that's strewn all about the room. Next, we get to choose her outfit and do her makeup. You've got to make her presentable after she just got really drunk and probably embarrassed herself. And then we get to choose where to start looking for answers as to who we kissed and who we switched phones with. But it's not that easy, because this is a romantic comedy, and from a culture different from my own, so there are things that you do and don't do, and of course, we have to have cute moments with guys from the group, and there are three eligible guys in the group that we could have kissed, or it could have been our best female friend. You've got options. Our best childhood friend, the cute popular guy, or the guy who barely seems to tolerate that we're around are the options of who we might have kissed. And then, like I said, there's our best female friend who offers us counsel, but she might have a crush on somebody in the group, and we might be disappointing her. The minigames were really fun. There's one that's an escape room scenario, which was pretty cool. There's an animated barista simulator. There's also quick time events to be concerned with, like stopping in from sneezing and alerting this one guy's stalker that you're there. There are a dozen different endings where you find love with one of the guys or perhaps a new person, because like it's in the title, Yenwu falls in love too easily. You can actually fail at getting any of the things right and be sitting at the bar crying over your drink, and you'll still get a phone number from the bartender. It's very cute. But to get the good endings, you got to really succeed at being observant. If you get far enough toward an ending with one of the three study group guys, you'll need to confront them and do an evidence scene to prove to them that you know it was them. And the evidence you can present varies based on what you did in your run. But the game is cute. It's culturally different. There are some plot irritations where I didn't understand why you couldn't just cut to the chase and ask whose phone you grabbed by accident, because one of them obviously has your phone, or, you know, like they know it, but no one's fessing up. But I mean, that would have ruined some of the fun. You'll need to read fast, as I mentioned, because the subtitles don't stay up very long, but there is a way to turn off the timer for some of the quick time questions. And then once you've completed a playthrough, you can skip scenes that you've already seen, but it does not always work 100% of the time. You can also skip mini games too, if you want to speed along. And there are some different outcomes that will happen depending on how well you do in the mini games. But yeah, I still haven't found all of the endings, but I am having a great time trying to find them all.
How many endings are there?
12.
12? Jeez. That's a lot.
There's at least two for each of the possible suitors, and then there's a couple other endings where you, like, don't kiss anybody again. And then there's, like, getting the new bow. There's a couple of those. So, yeah.
So, would you kiss this game for $21.99?
I would. It's really cute. I had a lot of fun with it.
Nice. It looks cute. Jacob, are you interested in this one? Seemed like something you'd pick up.
Yeah, it actually does. I like interactive movies.
Yeah, and the mini games broke it up a little, which was fun. The escape room one was pretty entertaining. You end up in a bar looking for clues, and you somehow get locked in, and then it opens this whole, like, it's a combination of in the movie and the animated sequences, and you've got to solve puzzles to try and figure out where the key is to get yourself out. And at some point you run into one of the possible crushes, and even if you fail at the mini game, you can still get out, because he freaks out when you try to confront him and he bails out the window. You're like, oh, I could have just gone out the window. Like, that was really funny.
All right, so it's a good one. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Next game, Self-Loss, developed by Goodwin Games, published by Merge Games, released September 12th on Series X and S, Switch, and PS5 for $29.99. Self-Loss is an emotional exploration game filled with rich lore set in a whale-worshipping Slavic-inspired world. Embark on the journey of the healer Kazimir and his magical staff as he fights a mysterious miasma in search of a ritual to cure his wounded soul. Jacob, what is Self-Loss?
Self-Loss is a very interesting title. It's what I'd honestly... It's an artistic... I don't know. It's definitely like an action game. I don't know if I'd really describe it as a platformer. I mean, it has some platforming mechanics to it, but I guess it would just be an artistic adventure game. And you play this guy who has gone through, some loss. And during your journey, as you're trying to figure out what the heck you're going to do next, you encounter all these different creatures or beings who are also going through their own types of loss, and it's your job to bring either healing or closure to their stories. And it is a lot of puzzles that you're trying to figure out. Like, some of it's just simple, like, you know, activate these like three different pillars by messing with certain stuff. Other ones are, you know, just trying to figure out where the heck are you going next for a certain thing. And the game does take you by the hand at first with everything, and eventually there are like enemies that you have to face and defeat, and thankfully the game is pretty generous with its checkpoints as to where you're going to restart if your character dies. And then it's just like, all right, dust yourself off, like try again, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's a heavier title than I was expecting. With this, I mean, it's a subject of loss, you know, freaking fly.
You're still dealing with the fly.
Yeah, he finally came back. Like, I guess he was on the other side of the room, and he's just like, oh, you talking now? I'm gonna come back.
Talking shit.
But yeah, it's the combat is, it can be difficult, and like, it does require some strategy to it, but the real thing is just running around, and it's a lot of exploration and hopping into your boat and figuring out, you know, where can I go next? What have I unlocked? Like, if I go here, is it going to like forward the story, or is this a side thing? And so you have, a lot of it is just like, I don't want to say hold your nose. This isn't like, you know, it's a bad thing, but you know, it's like hold your nose and dive in and, you know, hope for the best. It's a fairly contemplative game, and I wish that there was a little bit more direction as to where to go, and that the combat had been, I think this game could have been fine on its own, just, you know, going from point A to point B and trying to like heal these people. But at the same time, I understand having the combat in there. I don't know if it was wholly necessary, but you know, it's an interesting title. Like, I really can't spoil all that much on it, but I would definitely say it's well worth a visit.
Well, clocks in at $29.99. What are your thoughts on Self-Loss?
If you are looking for like some sort of like hack and slash game that's like, you know, sit out in a forest, this is not it. But if you're willing, I'm trying to think of like, think of it as like, I mean, like, yes, obviously I know that this is an indie game, but it's just like, this is like an epic indie game or artistic indie game.
Definitely, and it's just an emotional journey.
Yeah, I wouldn't say this is not one to sleep on, but it's very much worth your time. So,
cool. All right, next up, Harmony Chronicles Chaos Realm Collector's Edition, developed by Jet Dog Studios, published by Ocean Media, released November 12th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $9.09. Join Mona on her quest and experience the ultimate adventure with stunning visuals, captivating storytelling, humorous dialogues, and challenging puzzles. The Harmony Chronicles promises endless hours of immersive gameplay. Bree, what is Harmony Chronicles?
So this is a hidden object, point-and-click puzzle adventure. Mona gets sucked into a fantasy realm while taking a nap, which could mean it's all a dream, and ends up having to play hero and find the Goddess of Harmony before it's too late. Our companion is a talking book. The Chronicle of the Goddess's Castle is what the book is. The Goddess is in an eternal war with her twin brother Chaos, and perhaps her disappearance is linked to that. Once we have some items found and attuned to us, we get to set out on a quest, find 6 amulets across different realms to revive the goddess. And while we're out there, we meet a bunch of mythological creatures like werewolves, mermaids, vampires, and dragons. So, like I said, it's a point-and-click hidden object puzzle adventure. The game attempts to give you some reason to be searching for things or doing puzzles. Fantasy genres are good for this. Like, our first hidden object scene is trying to find the book that's talking to us, which we uncover by moving items. First puzzle is used to calibrate a magic key to us, its new owner. I appreciated that they made the effort in the story to give better reasons for things, mostly that everyone is a mess and needs your help finding things. But especially since this game is very heavy on the hidden object puzzle, there are a lot of games like this that it's just like, there's no real reason for you to be doing what you're doing. It's just like, oh, I walked up on a pile of crap. Let's see if there's anything useful here. This at least gives you a reason to be looking for stuff. And I really liked that in the narrative. They also use a lot of the same assets over and over in the hidden object puzzles. So it became easier as you go along to find what you're looking for. If you misclick too many times, you get a screen freeze, making you wait. Oh my gosh, Cheek, stop. So you actually have to try and win in this game, unlike some other games of this type where you can furiously click out of frustration and then sometimes luck out. This one you have to actually look for the stuff, but again, they did a really good job with the hidden object puzzle, which is great because again, there's a good amount of hidden object puzzles, but there is some variety even there. In one kind, you have to find pairs of things instead of just finding things off of a list, and things aren't identical when you're finding the pairs, they're just close, so there might be like a pair of boots, but they're not necessarily identical boots. It's just like, oh, hey, look, there's a boot and another boot. Which I thought was a nice twist on the physical hidden object puzzle. The other puzzles in the game were not as frequent, like the regular puzzles, not the hidden object ones. Nor are they very challenging. If you've played any games similar to this before, they're pretty tame. There was none of the not puzzle. Teak, stop. Oh, she's getting in the way of my notes. Alright, this game is set up into chapters based on the worlds you adventure in looking for the 6 different amulets. Each world is a little different. There's a new character to meet each time. The puzzles are themed to the land that we're in, so the hidden object puzzles, like the hidden objects in the puzzles are largely the same. But in every chapter, we can also find a stolen page from the talking book to help recover its memories. The art is pretty. The voice acting is okay. Music was pretty good. The story was interesting. The ending was a little abrupt and unsatisfying. Some issues with the game. There is a lot of lag or stuttering, maybe, is a better way to put it. Like the audio voice acting doesn't always register all the way or it stutters. And often when you press the continue button, it's like there's a load time for the text box to come up. This includes the puzzles. You'll click on a hidden object and the cursor just freezes for a second before it picks up the item and puts it in your inventory.
Weird.
Yeah. So that was one issue. But once you finish the game, there are some bonuses. You can go into the levels and replay any of the puzzles or the hidden object scenes. Just like select them and redo them, which is pretty cool. There are jigsaw puzzles of some of the characters you meet in the main story. There's an achievement for that, too. There's a music player, a photo gallery of locations from the game, and a whole bonus story with achievements.
Ooh.
And it's about half as long as the main game. But, yeah, I had a good time with this.
Cool. How does it stack up to Artifacts games? Because we used to cover a lot of Artifacts games. Things kind of changed to Artifacts where they don't really do review stuff anymore.
Yeah.
But now Ocean Media is coming in here. What do you think of their stuff?
I enjoyed it. Like I said, there were a few stutters and things, but it wasn't game breaking. I thought the price was really good. If you, what was it? $9.09.
Yep.
I thought it was unique price for what it is. Yeah. Definitely a unique price. But yeah, I think this is, I think it would be, you know, comparable to an Artifacts game. Again, this particular title was heavier on the hidden object puzzle. So if you like to find things, this is definitely a good one for you. If you like the other puzzles or you like a better balance, like this is going to be, you know, maybe a miss for you. But for the price, I thought this was really great. And again, you have like decent voice acting. You've got decent graphics. The story was comparable. I liked it.
Cool. $9 verdict. I would
say buy it. Yeah, buy it.
Nope. All right. Next up, Sprawl, developed and published by Rogue Games, released November 21st on Series X and S and PS5 for $14.99. Enter the dystopian world of Sprawl, a hardcore retro first-person shooter that's certain to test your reflexes as you battle through onslaughts of enemies in an atmospheric cyberpunk megapolis, whatever that fucking word is. The best-in-class boomer shooter is here, and it's never been more fun to bullet-time headshot corporate mercenaries while you sprint and wall-jump through grungy 90s anime-inspired cities. Jacob, Sprawl seems like a bloody good time, yeah?
Oh, wait, where's the cricket chirp sound? Hold on. Dang it. Nope, there it is.
That wasn't working.
I feel like, I know, and I feel like it applied to me just as much as it did for you.
Oh, very much did.
Yeah. Thank you, whoever did that.
Me.
Anyway, I like how you almost said corporate America. Like, you know, shooting up corporate America. And I'm like, that's timely.
Oh, Sprawl. What is Sprawl?
So Sprawl is a hardcore shooter that very much takes a page out of Mirror's Edge's book. And there is a lot of parkour action in this, and it sets up pretty much all your violence that you're going to be doing throughout the game. And with all like the running and jumping and stuff like that, you're also able to slow down time and get better aim for your shots. So think of it kind of like a Mirror's Edge meets Max Payne or Stranglehold. I realize I'm digging pretty far back on that, but those are the best examples that I can think of at the moment. And so like you're going to be running through these levels and the game has all these enemies that pop out. Sometimes it's like robot dogs. Other times it's these troops that'll come out. Other times you're fighting straight up like war robots, all sorts of stuff. And what happens is that as you slow down, if you hit certain parts of their bodies, then you get extra like ammo or health or whatever. Whether it's like a headshot always guarantees whatever. Sometimes characters are wearing like backpacks, like if they're like going to be shooting flames at you, or missiles or whatever. If you shoot the backpack, it explodes and then like does blast damage to everyone else. Thank you, Aki, for calling me a dinosaur. But yeah, so it creates this like cyberpunk dystopian. It has a very retro feel when you look around at it. Almost like I wouldn't say like late 90s, like it's not like that pixelated Doom kind of look, but it's, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It just looks retro. But yeah, and you're running and jumping and like trying to figure out where to go next. And like Mirror's Edge, there is some guidance as to like where you have to go next. But it's mostly like, here's a couple of string of lights. But the problem is that you need your little bullet time or focus time, whatever you want to call it. You need to have some of that active so you can really get an idea of where you're supposed to go. Otherwise, you're just looking for visual clues. And it's not as easily as spelled out as Mirror's Edge was, where it's just like, the path you need to go is red.
Yeah, follow the red.
Just follow the red. Like this, like, they really take the time to like warp the idea of where you can go. And some of it, it's just going to be like, you know, bounce left, right, and then like do a spin and jump forward, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, and it's just like the action is super satisfying. Trying to figure out where the heck you're going to go next, not so much. it took me like a full 45 minutes just to get through the first level.
Oh, geez.
And most of it was because I was dying a lot, because again, it doesn't spell out the route. And so sometimes you're just like, all right, I'm going to jump and see like where I could go. And that does provide alternate routes sometimes, which is kind of cool. So then you have the ability to like choose what direction you're going to take as you move through this level. But I honestly wish that it was a little bit friendlier with that, because I'm getting old and my hands now they ain't what they used to be. They kind of what the heck's the word I'm looking for? Jeez, why that
dinosaur?
I'm old and I'm a dinosaur. I was having a blast shooting the hell out of everyone.
You make fun of me with a bloody good time with how fucking violent the game is, but you say it's a blast and we're just going to let that slide.
I mean, you could. I mean, you do some sliding in the game.
Are you a low T meat rider?
I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. But yeah, I dug it. And like, you know, if you like first person shooters that are going to give you a challenge, this is a good one to check out.
Cool. It's $15. Give us your verdict.
Buy it. It's worth the 15. I'd even say it's worth 20. Like I would have been cool with that.
Okay. Well, it's not 20. It's 15.
I know. I'm just saying, cheap ass Jacob.
Don't give them ideas. They'll listen and raise the price.
Nobody listens to us.
That's fair. Next game, Super Astro Cat, developed and published by Synergy Circle Games, released December 4th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $5.99, Windows Store for $5.99, a two-pack of both of them for $9.99. After getting their home planet destroyed by a meteor, the cat's only option was to flee on a spaceship and embark on a journey to find a new suitable planet to colonize and live. Super Astro Cat is the hero with a mission of locating planets, exploring them, and deciding the best one to live. Complete your mission and save the cat race from extinction. Bree, what is Super Astro Cat?
You are a cat astronaut, and you need to explore all the areas of every planet, complete mission tasks, eliminate aliens and other obstacles. You'll unlock stars to unlock new planets using your jetpack and your gun. Our poor catstronaut's planet was destroyed by a meteor, and now we've got to find a suitable new planet to colonize, and Captain's full 9 lives depend on your good judgment. The planets have levels that unlock as you go. There are 10 levels to each planet. Like a lot of Synergy Circle's other games, this is a constant runner game. So you don't have to move the character, you just jump and shoot, and you're constantly moving forward. When the level starts, agency is already moving, and we need to just focus on jumping and shooting. And then you have the option to use the X button or the right trigger for firing, which is really nice. I started out using the X button and then found that I like the trigger better.
Your jetpack is generous, but has limited power. You will run out of juice and need to touch down to recharge. All the while, you need to dodge tentacles, shoot things like asteroids and aliens that are firing at you while you try to preserve your health and collect those stars. Each level has sub-goals. Besides getting to the finish line, you want to shoot 3 aliens, 3 asteroids, and collect at least 8 stars, and you get a level star for each sub-goal you reach, and you want to aim for that perfect 3-star. But it's not necessary to do so for any of the achievements. The achievements are mostly cumulative. And if you do lose your health, you just start the level over, which is nice. But there are 30 levels to play through, and a certain amount of stars you'll need to collect before you can choose to colonize one of the planets that you found best suited for the future of Catkind. This game is cute and fairly easy to fly through for the achievements.
Yeah, I think I beat this one like a half hour. But it was fun. Like, it wasn't one of those games where I'm like, ugh, I gotta slog through this. I was like, this is fun. This is enjoyable. It's a good palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on it?
No. I had fun with it.
Well, it clocks in at $6 on console, $6 on PC, $10 to get both of them for the stack. What do you think?
I mean, if you're using this for achievements, like get the 2-pack. It's a decent price. I'd say fuck it, why not? Let's do it.
Cool. All right, one final game to talk about tonight is called God's Vivors, developed by Titan, published by Aphil Games, released December 4th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS5, and Windows Store for $4.99. Prepare to descend into the depths of the underworld in God's Vivors as a powerful god of Olympus. Your mission is to challenge the ruler of the underworld, Hades, and restore balance of power. Battle through waves of demonic foes in this roguelite bullet hell adventure where every second counts. Survive 15 intense minutes to reach the final confrontation with Hades himself. Jacob, what is God's Vivors?
God's Vivors, which never sounds right when I say it. Like, that, I'm not going to lie, that annoys me greatly. but it's like one of the many like Vampire Survivors-esque games that has come out within the last couple of years, and you're running through as various characters in mythology, and you're just blasting away all of these different, you know, enemies with your abilities, and you get various abilities, but you also get various weapons that you can then purchase, and you'll start the game with. And so, like, if you want to run around as Poseidon with a shotgun, sure, why not? You know, we're gonna do that. Like, if you want to be Zeus and, you know, have her, like, I think it's a sniper rifle, it might be a rocket launcher, I forget. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that you can get from the armory, which are permanent upgrades that you'll get in the game. And then it's just, you need to be constantly playing and you have to be on your toes. Boss fights are there. I don't think I beat Hades. Like, was hate, like, I don't know.
I got to 10 minutes on it. I can't. This is a fucking hard Survivors game.
It starts off simple and, like, you're like, okay, like, whatever. Like, all right, 3 runs in, I feel like I got a pretty good handle on it. And then next thing you know, like, death is in his boat, like, you know, he's using swimming his oar to, like,
and he just,
yeah, he's like pushing his oar after you, and like just chasing after you on the whole board. And it's a weird game. To be honest, like, I mean, it's hard. I don't really mind that, because I mean, that's kind of the point of these games. My gripe with it, to be honest, was that it's unlike other ones in this kind of genre, this is not a game that you can play one-handed. And for those who have listened on my previous reviews with this kind of stuff, I like this kind. I like this genre because I can play it with one hand on my controller, and my wife will usually, like, be sleeping on me on the couch, and I can have, like, one arm around her, so I could still play video games while, like, she naps on me. You can't really do that in this game because you have to use your right stick to be able to aim your gun as you're firing it, and you also have to pull the trigger for it. So, you know, it, I mean, that's a personal preference thing. It's really not a slight on the game. Like, the game's fine. It's $5. I mean, it's already a fuck it, why not? But I liked it, you know, and also it just got an extra 1,000 in achievement score.
Oh, so I think it's already. Oh, geez.
I think it's sitting at 2,000 right now.
Oh, man. I like the comments where Thimber said God's Viver sounds like a Finnish industrial metal band. An injury said, or a medical diagnosis.
I'm sorry, you got God's Vivers. Somebody open up a charity for those who survived God's Vivers.
Oh, geez. Well, you kind of already addressed it, but it's $5. What do you think?
At worst, fuck it, why not? But I dug it. I'd say spend $5 on it.
Cool. A separate purchase on the Windows Store for a stack. What do you think there?
I mean, if
get
you've
one,
got to
get both or just stick with one, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, personally, I'm just going to stick with one, but if you've got the time, money, and the computer parts, go for it.
Cool. And God's Vivers is on sale for the next couple of days for $3.99. So if you want to save a dollar, there you go.
Woo!
Woo indeed. We are done. We made it through. Thanks to you two for being here. Bree, thanks for being here the whole time.
Rude.
Yeah. My throat's all gunky now. God damn it.
You know, maybe if you took that dick out of your throat.
And what would you do with it then?
I mean, I'd probably zip up my pants and say thank you.
That makes sense. Music this episode, we're going to play some SML Holiday Cheer. So I don't know which song yet, but we'll pick something and enjoy the holiday musics from our good friends who have contributed songs to us over the past few
years. We have friends?
A few. Not many. Like one.
Weird.
Les sigh. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Missed you, Aki.
I didn't.